Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
All right, welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague here, 105.1 The Fan, our first day on FM, and it could not be done unless we had our good friend, the local legend himself, Ben Golliver of the Washington Post. Welcome back on the program, Ben Golliver.
The first official FM guest on our show.
Yeah, he's cracked. Yeah.
This is a big deal. This will be a trivia question in 30 years.
Yes,
it will.
The first
ever guest on the FM 105.1 The Fan was Ben Golliver.
And he wrote a piece on Young Hansen at WashingtonPost.com. It's a great get to know Young Hansen because a lot of us don't know his backstory or who he is or what he's about. We have the PS5 and the sleep thing. That's kind of it. Ben has done a deep dive and has the whole story up, WashingtonPost.com. Good morning, Ben Golliver. Welcome to 105.1 The Fan.
Wow, it feels great. I'm so glad I'm the first. You know, just the other night I was watching the Charlotte Hornets win the Las Vegas Summer League Championship. They got pretty nice rings and a gold trophy. Yeah. Do I get anything for being this first guest, or it's just sort of bragging rights? Can I expect something in the mail?
We'll send you a banner. You can raise it in your house. It's like a banner in your living room. What do you think?
I'll take it. That's the big debate, right? Like, if you win the NBA Cup, do you put it up in your arena? Some of these teams don't want to do it. I promise you I could find room for the AMFM banner, no doubt about it.
All right, well, we'll have to send that banner to you. This piece, Ben, you do such a great job covering the league. You obviously have a little bit of a local tie-in, right, with the Blazers and the back history there, but you do a good job of covering the league in general, especially on the GOAT podcast, WashingtonPost.com. This piece, right up our alley, specifically Portland, you're at Summer League. Why Young Hansen? Let's start there. Ben Golliver could write about anybody at Summer League to do a deep dive, a backstory. What was it about Young Hansen that made Ben Golliver go, I got to know what's here?
Well, you know, I got to give credit to the rest of the Portland media because when I kept showing up to these games, they're like, Young is him. You have to write about him. You have to write about him. It was peer pressure. I got bullied into it by the other writers who were down there, you know, covering the Blazers Summer League team. They're just like, this guy is so funny. The fan base already loves him. They're selling his jerseys like crazy. He's going to, you know, most likely be in the rotation, have a real role next year after the DeAndre Ayton buyout situation. And, of course, you know, for the first time in almost 20 years, you have a Chinese player as a first-round pick in the NBA, and we know how big of a basketball-loving market China is. The NBA is the most popular league in China. They have something like 600 million fans over there. And so you add all those things up, and it really felt newsworthy. And I watched him play. I mean, obviously, there's just some moments that take your breath away, right? Like, really interesting stuff with the passing guys open into space, the crazy box outs he gets into where he's just clearing, like, three or four people out of the way with his backside. I mean, he's playing so hard at Summer League, and he's playing every game, which is kind of the first step here in Vegas is, you know, are the stars going to play or not? Are the high lottery picks and first-round picks going to play? And so it was just great to see him build momentum. And then you look around the gym, and you've got thousands of Chinese and Chinese-American fans cheering him on. They're bringing the signs that, you know, reference sleep, PlayStation 5, and eat. They're telling, you know, Young to dominate. In some cases, they've got the signs in Chinese lettering, which I think really appealed to him because he's like kind of made him feel like home a little bit, you know, knowing he had the support. And then I started hearing whispers about the ratings. And that's always a big topic in the NBA. You guys know, oh, is the finals rating up? Are they down? How are the Thunder doing? How are the Pacers doing? Yada, yada, yada. And I come to find out 5.2 million people in China watched one of his Summer League games. You know, Cooper Flagg's debut got 1.1 million. So he's about five times more than the hyped number one pick who went to Duke, who everybody's looked at as one of the best American prospects of the last decade, right? So those numbers were blowing my mind. Just the fact that he's a phenomenon, I think, is a part of the reason why I wanted to write about him. But, of course, his sense of humor is really what pulled me to him. And I was just so glad it all came together.
I mean, as you sit down to write this, you mentioned Sleep PS5. It sounds like what I want to do in my free time, just take a nap, maybe play a couple of video games here or there when allowed. When you sit down and talk to him, what were the things that stood out to you getting to know him better and a guy who, as you mentioned, has clearly become a fan favorite already in Portland?
Well, you know, he's got a great sense of humor, obviously. He's very self-deprecating. he referred to himself when he was a kid as a little bit of a fat boy. And he told me that basically he got into basketball because his dad was a basketball player. And his dad essentially said, hey, I don't want you getting fat. So you got to figure out something that will get you into college. And that was sort of the push to get him into basketball. So, you know, right off the bat, he's cracking jokes and making me laugh. And, of course, as we're sitting there doing the interview at the Wynn Casino, you've got kids coming up every 5 minutes asking for a photo, wanting an autograph, just kind of swarming him. Because for somebody like him, there's nowhere to hide, right? You're 7'1" and Chinese in Las Vegas. Like, you're going to attract a crowd everywhere you go. And I was just so impressed at how he dealt with the fame. You know, a lot of times in NBA history, we see the big guys, and they're very reticent in public. They're very cautious. They don't really want to interact with fans. It goes back to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and you even look at Wemby. When he first came to the NBA, he was very on guard, basically at all times. And you have Young, he's kind of like a man of the people. He reminds me a little bit more of Shaq, where he always wants everything to be a joke, and he wants everybody to be in on the fun. And so, you know, that part was really interesting to see up close and personal. But, you know, you mentioned his mantra about eat, sleep, PlayStation. He had another really interesting line. And, you know, it almost reminded me of, like, have you heard of the Tao of Pooh? Like the books that kind of like, you know, Winnie the Pooh kind of like simplify his life. But, you know, he kind of came from the same perspective. He said, look, I have the 8-hour rule. If something's more than 8 hours into the future, I don't worry about it. And if it's within 8 hours, I don't worry about it too much. And you just kind of get this idea that he's a free spirit, maybe a little bit like Bill Walton, just kind of cruising through life, you know, trying to, you know, just keep a level head, stay optimistic, and stay happy. But what I love about it is when you actually watch him on the court, the competitive level is through the roof. You know, so this is not somebody who's just maybe he's not going to show up to a game because of an ice storm, right? Like, he's going to be there, I promise you. He's one of those guys where he can flip the switch and go from very easygoing, fun big man to, hey, it's time to throw some elbows and go get some rebounds, crash the glass, and maybe even throw in a Euro step along the way. So just a fascinating character. And, you know, I was asking him a little bit, too, about the lineage of Chinese big men, right? Because they haven't had a ton of NBA players over the years. And it's really Yao, and you guys might remember Yi, who was a little bit more of a forward. He didn't have the world's best career. And so what Yang said was, he said he grew up watching Yao and Yi. He would sit around the television with his family and watch their games in the NBA, watch their CBA games. And those guys were sort of like his idols. And he said Yao even called him before he came to the NBA for the pre-draft process and gave him a bunch of advice about just telling him to cherish the moment, cherish every day, because it's such an incredible opportunity for a Chinese player. And look, there's no question. I mean, Yang feels insane amounts of pressure to live up to all the expectations from the Chinese fans. They had 12 media members at least there covering every single one of his summer league games. They're doing a 10-part documentary on Tencent. They've already done 9 episodes since he came to the United States in May for the pre-draft process. I mean, they're filming every aspect of this guy's life, and he handles all of it so well. He says every time the cameras are on, it's just an opportunity for him to show his sense of humor and to make people laugh.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.
Yeah, it's crazy. Ben Golliver, our guest here, WashingtonPost.com, wrote a really good article on Young Hansen. I want to read this quote. He's obviously talking through his interpreter, but I want to read this. I thought this was a great line as well. You talk about his sense of humor. He says, attention doesn't bother me. It's part of the job. It's the perfect time to show my humor. Sometimes you'll see my face goes down. That doesn't mean I'm frustrated. That means I want to go to sleep. I'll save my words sometimes because I want to go to bed, end quote. And I love it because I think it sums him up to a T. Bring the attention on, but when I'm tired, I'm unplugging with it all. I do have a general basketball question, but very quickly as I was going through and I was hearing what you were saying, it just registered to me, and I don't know if you have thought about this. Maybe you have. Maybe you already know this. This is probably going to be the most shared read article of your life, is it not?
Well, look, I mean, I had a Caitlin Clark one a couple years ago that went a lot of places, so and it's a high bar. But, yeah, you know, when you talk about the scope of the Chinese market, that's what's been so exciting to the NBA for the last 20 or 25 years, and it's been a real thorn in their side. that they can't get a Chinese NBA star. I mean, Yao was such a big deal, guys. I remember when he would come through, you know, back then it was the Rose Garden. Maybe it still is the Rose Garden. We could probably agree on that, right?
Yeah.
There would be at least five traveling beat writers. This is almost 20 years ago, for every single one of his games from China, who were following him, his every move, right? And he would sometimes do two different press conferences, one in English, one in Chinese. The Houston Rockets back then, I mean, this is years and years ago. It feels like the early days of the internet. They would have an entire Chinese website, right? You know, separate from their English website. So I think the NBA has kind of been waiting for someone like this. Now, the big question is Yang going to be, you know, capable of continuing to move the needle, to have staying power, to work himself into the rotation, maybe to someday become a starter and a star? Those are open questions, right? I mean, he's only 20 years old. There's very limited scouting tape on him. I think the main question is just mobility and agility and endurance. Like, is he going to be able to get up and down the court and keep up with the pace of the NBA game? I think that's kind of the fundamental question with him. But just the fact that you have a Chinese first-round pick is a huge deal for an awful lot of people. And they were telling me that there's a paywall service in China. You have to subscribe to watch certain games. And more than 3 million people paid to watch one of his summer league games, right? So that's just bonkers numbers by the NBA standards, completely through the roof. And that's why the headline of this story was really that he's the star of the summer. I mean, you know, if his games in China are beating the ratings for the NBA playoff games, that tells you an awful lot. And they were.
Yeah. I might, kind of against it, might be the last one for you, at least for me. What have you made? Dame Lillard signs back to Portland, surprises a lot of people that it happens this soon. You wrote about Yang Hansen, but they already have Donovan Klingon. What do you just make of the basketball situation? Not the feel good, not the funny, the basketball situation the Portland Trailblazers currently have.
You know, it's just still another transition, right? It's a different phase. I thought the moves to get rid of Ayton, to get rid of Simons, were right on the money. You know, I think you look at those guys, are they contributing to winning? That's the most important aspect, right? Are they making your culture better in terms of, you know, about the right values, defense, intensity, and those kinds of things? And I know I talked about it with you guys a lot last year. The Blazers' best players were Kamara and Avdija. You know, it wasn't the highly paid guys. Those were the guys who were really making a difference. And so it felt like to me that they really tried to pivot this summer and focus a little bit more on a hardworking culture, bringing in Drew Holiday. Now, the other aspect to it is I think they, to me, the summer felt like an admission that they lost some people over these last couple of years. And by people, I mean fans, right? When you go out and re-sign Damian Lillard for that length of contract, that amount of money, when you take a risk like a Yang Hansen in the first round, to me that says we're trying to make some moves with our fan base in mind as well as the basketball side. We want to give people a reason to cheer and a reason to be excited. And, you know, I saw all the videos going around the Rose City of people reacting to Lillard coming back. I mean, it felt like it was July 4th all over again, where the people shooting off fireworks practically, you know. And then with Yang, apparently the jersey sales in the month after the draft this year were 1,000% higher than the month after the draft last year, right? So that just tells you the surge of interest there. And I have to suspect that the franchise going up for sale, there's some sort of a relationship there where they're trying to say, hey, look, we want to position this organization in a better spot, because I think ultimately the best asset that anyone is buying when they buy the Blazers is the Blazers fans, right? It's one of the best fan bases in the league. You want those fans invested, you know, coming to games, you know, making that building super loud, getting someone who wants to buy the team really excited about the opportunities to continue a legacy that goes back now 50 plus years, right? So to me, this summer was a little bit about the business side, to be honest, but it was also about trying to pivot away from some of the players who frankly were underperforming their contracts and who weren't bringing it from a leadership standpoint. So I kind of like the moves. I don't know if it's going to make a huge difference in the standings. They still got some things to shake out. But the two players I think you got to watch this upcoming season more than any others, we haven't talked about them yet, it's Scoot Henderson and Shaedon Sharpe. I mean, those guys are really playing for their next contracts. Those guys are really playing for their roles in terms of, hey, you know, if Scoot wants to, you know, be a starter down the road, Dame's coming back, Drew Holiday's in the mix, he has to show out this season. There's no question about it.
Yeah, last one for you, Ben, quickly, because we are against it, but you mentioned there the business side of it. That's something I've been bringing up, and I'm glad you did as well. I'm just curious, just general ballpark thoughts on the sale of the team, and then Adam Silver commenting the preferences for them to stay in Portland that put all sorts of antennas up in our market, and the idea that the old Rose Garden might need to be rebuilt.
Yeah, I mean, we know how tricky the arena stuff can be, right? I mean, how long have they been trying to do a baseball arena in Portland? Like, I feel like they had some really smart, good people on that baseball project. It feels like it's been 15 years, and I haven't seen it yet. I don't know. Maybe it's coming. I think that could be a real long, protracted battle. I mean, it was in Milwaukee. It was in Sacramento. The easiest way to get a building done in the NBA is to have somebody so rich they could pay for it themselves. I mean, we saw the Golden State Warriors do that. We saw, the Los Angeles Clippers and Steve Ballmer do that, right? So that's the dream, is that you sell to a whale, and the whale says, look, I've got so much money, red tape doesn't matter to me, city council, whatever you need, mayor, whatever you need, I'm going to take care of it, and I'm just going to build the arena. That's the dream scenario. Dreams don't always come true, right? And so there definitely could be a fight if the NBA wants to see a new arena and expects a new arena, and you've got a city that hasn't really been open to that kind of stuff, over the last, however many years it's been. So I would hope, it doesn't take too long. This sale doesn't drag. You know, somebody who's got, deep pockets emerges, and, the Blazers can get on to, I think, what's a much-deserved new era. As you guys know, these last couple of years with Jody, it's just been stasis. Everybody's been in purgatory. It's been a holding pattern. I think you got a nice bump of excitement this summer with Young and Dame, joining the mix. But I think really if you want to chart a new course and get this team back into playoff contention, back into being one of those teams that's always in the mix every single year like they were throughout the 90s and a lot of the 2000s and 2010s, you're going to need a new owner to do that. So, I guess I'm crossing my fingers right along with you guys.
Yeah, good stuff. Ben Golliver, Washington Post, wrote a great, great piece on Jung Hansen, who had just got named to first team all summer league, had a great showing for the Blazers, a surprise pick in the draft. Get to know him. Read it at WashingtonPost.com. And Ben Golliver, for the first time in 105.1 Fan, the history is you were the first guest. So thank you so much for hopping on with us. Good stuff. Good piece on Young. We'll catch up with you at the end of the summer once the season's back. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. I'll just go ahead and give my address to Swag for that banner, and I'll look for it in the mail.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.